The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Another day, another revelation of the truth that a lot of people don't want to talk about. We got another blasé for it, people. Cassidy Hutchinson. They put a pretty woman in front of Congress and let her say whatever she wants to say, and they expect you to be dumb enough to believe her. Let me tell you this. There's a such thing called pretty privilege. If you're a good-looking woman, people will tend to believe you even if you're lying to their face. And I believe this is why they chose Cassidy Hutchinson to tell what I believe is a bald-faced lie. If you have not seen the testimony from Cassidy Hutchinson at the January 6th hearing, which I think is a complete fraud and a scam, and most American people couldn't care less about January 6th at this point, when your gas prices are out of control, inflation is out of control, the housing market is out of control. You think you're going to buy a house now? In Arizona, the housing market has exploded. You ain't going to be able to buy a house now. All of those things are going on, and they want you to focus on January 6th. Now, Cassidy Hutchinson is a former aide to the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadow. And she is claiming, and I got a video and I'll play it in a second, she's claiming that Donald Trump on the day of January 6th tried to get Secret Service to take him to the U.S. Capitol building, and that he became irate when they would not do it because the area was not secured. Now, she go on to say some of the most ignorant things ever. I want to read this and then I'll play the clip. She also claimed that Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of the armored presidential limousine, which is the Beast, which is the 22-foot machine, and the president sits in the very back. And I would argue that the passenger compartment is not even connected to where the Secret Service driver is actually operating. However, and a gentleman named Bob Engel, who was the lead security detail, had to tell him, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel," Hutchinson claimed, that Trump then lunged and assaulted the agent. Let me just give a quick take, and I'm going to play the clip. I keep telling you I'm going to play the clip because I want you to hear it. But, you know, Donald Trump ain't a spring chicken, right? All right? I can't imagine Donald Trump jumping through the back of a limousine, diving over bodies, putting his hand on the steering wheel. What is he going to do? Take over the wheel, drive to the Capitol, and put his foot on the gas from the back seat? It don't even make sense for him to grab the steering wheel. What are you going to do? Drive you guys off the road? People, why are they hailing her as a credible witness that have destroyed Donald Trump and her testimony? Let me let you hear what she had to say, and then we're going to go through methodically and break down why I think this is probably the biggest lie since Blasey Ford. Roll the clip.
When I returned to the White House, I walked upstairs towards the Chief of Staff's office, and I noticed Mr. Renato lingering outside of the office. Once we had made eye contact, he quickly waved me to go into his office, which was just across the hall from mine. When I went in, he shut the door, and I noticed Bobby Engel, who is the head of Mr. Trump's security detail, sitting in a chair, just looking somewhat discombobulated and a little lost. I looked at Tony, and he had said, "Did you effing hear what happened in the Beast?" I said, "No, Tony, I just got back. What happened?" Tony proceeded to tell me that when the president got in the Beast, he was under the impression from Mr. Meadows that the off-the-record movement to the Capitol was still possible and likely to happen, but that Bobby had more information.
Hold on a second. She is saying that somehow Donald Trump gets into the Beast, the armored vehicle, and somehow thinks they're going to make a detour to the Capitol building. Off the record. Let me just explain this to you real quick for people that may not know. And I was a part of the presidential motorcade. So I not consistently, but I went on a presidential motorcade in Chicago when he went to a pro-police event. I was able to be in a motorcade. I was in one of the media vehicles, and we followed the president through the city. Now, when a president is being transported from point A to point B, there is a designated route. Why is there a route, Mr. Tatum? Because the Secret Service, snipers, tactical team, everybody that has been sworn in to protect the President of the United States of America has a route already pre-scheduled. So they know what the egress point is. They know if they have to get, if they get into a bomb situation, a bomb threat, the president's life is in danger. They know how to get in and out. This is not some willy-nilly, let's take a ride in the Beast and go to McDonald's and hang out at the strip club. This is not how this goes, ladies and gentlemen. The President of the United States knows exactly where he's going and where he's going to end up and where he's returning back to. It's all predetermined. And for her to say that the president was under the impression that maybe they were going to take a detour to the Capitol, to do what? What are they going to do at the Capitol? He going to get out the car and stand in line? What is he going to do at the Capitol? What is the President of the United States going to do at the Capitol? You know, for a fact, there's not enough security for President Trump to get out of the Beast anywhere, let alone the Capitol building. What he's going to do, go in there and slap Nancy Pelosi? No, it's no way that he would even be able to get in the Capitol, even if he showed up in the Beast. It just sounds implausible. Wrote a clip.
The president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby. He thought that they were going up to the Capitol, and when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, we don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing. The president had a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel.
Hold on, time out. She just said at the beginning of her testimony that they were in the Beast. Last time I checked, the Beast is the limousine. And that thing is a 22-foot-long vehicle. He just reached up in the front of the... Listen, he sits in the back next to the window so everybody can see him. Same place that he, you know, is a designated place he sit there. There's a designated place that he sit in Air Force One. There's a designated place where he sits in Marine One. How did the president gonna go from the back of a 22-foot vehicle, somehow fly through the air with a Superman cape on, and put his arm through the... I'm assuming there's a partition there that they must have opened to let the president put his arm through. And the president is a big dude. He ain't reaching his arm all the way through a partition to the steering wheel. Okay, keep going.
Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
And was Mr. Engel in the room as Mr. Renato told you this story?
He was.
Did Mr. Engel correct or disagree with any part of the story for Mr. Renato?
Mr. Engel did not correct or disagree with any part of the story.
Did Mr. Engel or Mr. Renato ever after that tell you that what Mr. Renato had just said was untrue?
Neither Mr. Renato nor Mr. Engel told me ever that it was.
Okay. So let me put this in perspective. This is a hearing. This is not a firsthand account. This is hearsay. She heard from another person who told her something, then she's recanting or recounting what he told her, and she wasn't present. And this is the trick of the enemy. And I got about 40 seconds to say this. This is the trick of the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. That's why in a court of law, in a real hearing, you can't introduce hearsay. It's not admissible in the court of law. Because she's going to say, he told me this. When it comes out that she's lying, who do you dispute? That he actually told her that? Or she's lying about what he told her? Or is he lying about what he saw, then he told her to tell the Congress a lie? You see how confusing that is? That's why this is not admissible in the court of law. This is a sham, and they should be ashamed of themselves. You listen to the Alf Statham Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
We are in a big, fat, ugly bubble.
Summer grilling is upon us, and if you're looking for a perfect cut to put on a grill this year, look no further. Good Ranchers is the place to get American beef, chicken, and seafood this summer. They sell 100% American meat shipped to your front door, and right now, they're giving away two free 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes to every person that use my code Tatum. That's over 2 pounds of prime ribeye steak at no cost to you. With Father's Day coming up and all the summer events, this is a perfect time to try a box of Good Ranchers. You can make a one-time purchase or subscribe and save $25 off every box. Plus, you'll get two free 18-ounce boneless ribeyes. Other places will charge you well over $50 a steak to get ribeyes like these. But Good Ranchers is giving them to you for free when you go to goodranchers.com/Tatum. This is a limited stock item. Right now, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum and use my code Tatum at the checkout and get your two free 18-ounce ribeyes. Start the summer off right with Good Ranchers American meat delivery. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Follow me on social medias, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at The Officer Tatum. Go to my website, TheOfficerTatum.com. I have a special guest with me now. I tried to surprise y'all, but I have the sage from South Central, Larry Elder, is joining me. Welcome to the show, Larry Elder.
Brandon, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So there's a few subjects that I want to talk about. You know, I was going to start out with O.J. Simpson, but I think that's too hot for the audience now. We'll get to O.J., but I want to hear from you, Larry,
always nice to hear what kind of comments O.J. Simpson has. what does Jussie Smollett think?
Right, exactly. Probably the two least people with credibility on planet Earth. But I wanted to talk something a little more serious because I wanted to bring you on to talk about what's happening to Clarence Thomas, because I think the all-out racist attack on Clarence Thomas is despicable. And I wanted to hear your thoughts, Larry, on what they're doing to such an honorable, intelligent, great, respected man now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned.
Well, it isn't just Roe v. Wade, although that's the latest reason that they're jumping up and down about Clarence Thomas. But they've always hated Clarence Thomas. He refutes the narrative. So do you, so do I. These are proud black men who do not believe that America is systemically racist, do not believe it's the major problem facing America anymore, and refutes the whole left-wing narrative. The whole left-wing narrative is that America is full of racism. We need to have things like critical race theory. And all sorts of special handouts and privileges for black people because they won't be able to navigate through America because America has so many white racists in it. So somebody like Clarence Thomas is a direct threat. And so after this case comes down, and by the way, he's not even the one that wrote the majority of the decision. It was Alito who wrote it. But he's the one getting all the flack. Go online and you're finding progressive literally calling for his assassination and calling him a coon and calling him an Uncle Tom. I mean, it's pretty stunning. And as you know, during my race for California, a columnist named Erica D. Smith, we're going to talk about her later on, she referred to me as the black face of white supremacy. Subheadline, you've been warned, because I break the narrative. The narrative is that we are oppressed. The narrative is that the police are out gunning us down. The narrative is that the number one fear in America are white supremacists armed with guns, tracking down black people. And it's nonsense. So we are really, really threatening to the left power base. That's why they have to malign people like Clarence Thomas with all these nasty names.
Larry, that makes incredible sense. You know, it's funny because I was thinking something different, but you make an incredible point, is the fact that he's such a threat to their ideology. If they can convince black people that there's no black person on planet Earth that believe in the things that the Republican Party espouse, then they can win. But when you have a black man, and just by chance someone looks up Clarence Thomas, they look at his past, they look at where he came from, they look at the diversity of thought and the fact that he's changed courses over the course of his life, and that maybe, just maybe, a young black man will grow up and be inspired by him and realize that the Democrat Party has no value.
And that is why these people don't come on shows like yours and like mine and debate us. I've had that show for 30 years. Jesse Jackson would not come on. I've asked him over 100 times. Maxine Waters would not come on. Al Sharpton would not come on. Louis Farrakhan would not come on. If they're so right, if their arguments are so persuasive, why would you come on my show and debate them? But they won't, because they know they're weak. They'll be exposed for the frauds that they are. It's all about power. And if you have to malign America and say America is systemically racist in order to keep Democrats in power, so be it. It's absolutely outrageous, and it doesn't advance the cause. What these kids need is hope. What these kids need to be told is that everything in life, no matter how bad you are, no matter what your circumstances are, is about choices. You make good choices, and you're going to end up with a good result. You make bad choices, and you're encouraged to make bad choices by these so-called black leaders telling you that you're a victim, your life is not going to be as rich and fulfilled. The idea is to realize your God-given potential, and these people are undermining that. They're a cancer. They're an absolute cancer on this country.
I couldn't agree with you more, not just because you're probably one of the most brilliant men that I know, because you're just speaking facts. You know, I've experienced that. You and I come from two different generations, and I have experienced it firsthand, you know, that they want us to be victims. They want us to walk around with our heads down and for us not to live the American dream. I don't see why there's any reason whatsoever on planet Earth that a young black man in America can't pull himself up by his bootstraps, no matter what the circumstances are, and do something well with his life. Nobody's forcing you to have a premarital sex with people that you don't like, and you have kids out of wedlock. Nobody's telling you to push drugs in the black community. Nobody's telling you to have a illegal firearm running around throwing up gang signs. That's a choice that you make, and people can always change.
You know, Brandon, I'm on a commission called the Social Status of Black Men and Boys. It was set up by Congress a couple of years ago, and Donald Trump appointed me as a commissioner. So yesterday I'm on a Zoom call with two of my other fellow commissioners, one of whom worked for the Obama administration, and we're talking about the plight of black men and black boys. And the Obama guy said, well, we need to spend more money. We need to have more resources. We need to invest more in education. I said, excuse me, penalty flag. We're spending more money K-12 than we've ever spent before. I'm out here in California, and the spending is pegged to the growth of the GDP. So when California, the budget grows, the percentage of money they spend on education grows. We're now spending about $20,000 per student here in California with crappy results. In Baltimore, there are 13 public high schools where 0% of the kids, Brandon, 0% can do math at grade level. But they're spending more money than ever before. So don't give me that. It's not about the resources. It's about whether or not you are willing to invest in yourself and embrace education. And all too often, that's not happening because there isn't a father in the home to demand that they do this kind of thing.
That is, I couldn't say it any better, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Elder is telling the truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. I really wish that the message would be explained. You know, Larry, do you think that we're improving here as far as our country and the rhetoric getting to these inner city communities? Because I'm often questioning, like, is it getting through the minds of young people? Because when we talk, they come and criticize us and they paint us as Uncle Toms, and it's hard to get the message out.
Well, it's all about telling the truth. And now about 20% of black men voted for Donald Trump in 2016, the highest ever. And you're finding a declining numbers regarding Joe Biden because of crime, because of inflation, because of the price of gas. So I think there is there's some signs of hope that maybe, just maybe, some people need to rethink their assumptions. So I'm hopeful. We just got to keep telling the truth, Brandon. I was giving a speech one time. And as you know, frequently I'm invited by Republican clubs, and almost invariably just a handful of blacks are there. So I'm giving a talk, and there's a black guy standing in the back, big guy. His arms are folded, and he's shaking his head left to right when I'm making a point. This guy's going to kill me. So the speech is over. The guy comes up, and he says, I am mad. Not at you. I'm mad at myself. I thought I was on top of things. I had no idea that there was a 50% inner-city dropout rate. I had no idea that regarding interracial black-white violent crime, not homicide, 85% black perp and white victim, only 15% the other way around. I had no idea that 70% of black kids entered the world without a father married to the mother, up from 25% in 1965. Thank you so much for enlightening me. I need to do a better job of educating myself. And he walked away. So people want the truth. Malcolm X once said, I'm for the truth no matter who's telling it. Tell the truth. Sooner or later, they'll get it.
Hey, man, you guys are listening to Larry Elder, the sage of South Central. Larry, I want you to come back for one more segment. We're going to talk about what O.J. Simpson said. And brace yourself. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone.
Breaking news and what to make of it. The Officer Tatum Show.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow that I have ever slept on in my life. I have one right now. Me and my wife sleep on it every night. Now Mike has done it again with my slippers, which I'm wearing right now. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of my slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the My Slipper. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Mike Lindell has made the My Slippers with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made also with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on a radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at mypillow.com.
The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum, and I have my special guest back with me, Larry Elder. Y'all know who Larry Elder is. Larry, I wanted to jump into probably the funniest video that anybody's going to hear today. For some odd reason, beating a murder case isn't enough for O.J. Simpson. He has to come out and rear his head every time there's something controversial involving murder. So I want you to listen to it with me in the audience to listen to what O.J. had to say, and then we'll give some commentary. Roll the clip.
Okay. Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Happy Sunday. Well, it's my Twitter sites with my opinion. Let's start with Roe versus Wade. I thought it was a horrible decision. I think women should have the right to decide what happens with their bodies, especially in cases of rape and incest.
Murder.
I'm a little surprised that some of these alleged evangelical women who have been speaking out against, you know, I guess abortion. Look, if you believe in God, you should know it's going to come down to whatever person and the Lord one day. So let's leave it up to him when that time comes. We all gonna have to face him.
I can't do it, Brandon.
He didn't just beat a murder case. He beat a double murder case. And don't forget, he's taking time away from tracking down the killer and killers of Ron and Nicole in order to do this video. And regarding women having a choice what to do with their body, Nicole didn't have much of a choice because he decapitated her. And Donald Trump doesn't have a social media platform, but this double killer does. What is wrong with this world, Brandon?
Larry, I can't stop laughing. I can't stop laughing. It is sad that he did murder people, but I can't stop laughing at the irony. This dude is saying women should have control over their bodies because he murdered a woman. And then he talks about the Lord. Everybody's going to have that day before the Lord. Well, OJ, you kill somebody and you lying. Your day is going to be a bad day before the Lord.
So who do we hear from next? Charlie Manson? I guess the only reason we haven't heard from him is because he's dead. I wonder what Charlie has to say about Roe v. Wade. I mean,
you cannot make this stuff up.
You know, you would think that somebody with that much evidence against him, I mean, the man did everything but leave his business card at the crime scene, and he got away with this. He'd be laying low, just kissing his feet every single day that he's not behind bars. And not only that, he comes out. He does a Twitter file, weighs in on this issue and that issue. I'm surprised MSNBC hasn't given him a gig yet.
Well, you know what? Their ratings will go up because as crazy as he is, I tell you what, I'm guilty of it, Larry. When he has a little take, I listen to the irony. I mean, this guy is the boldest most craziest, out of touch with reality person that I've ever seen. Like, I mean, stay away from the murder stuff. At least stay away from women's choices.
Look up the word chutzpah in the dictionary. There's a big picture of OJ smiling. I mean, what what incredible! And here we are talking about it, Brandon. So he's winning.
That man has it figured out. But anyway, I guess the people who are listening can make their judgment on whether or not he's smart for saying it or not. But I want to get to another subject, Larry. The young lady who came out and made a article, or she wrote an article. They call her a columnist. I think she's a crazy woman. But she initially said that you were the black face of white supremacy. And now she's out with another article trying to depict the scenario where white Christian evangelicals are arming themselves out of fear of black people owning firearms.
Yeah, and that black people are arming themselves out of fear that white people are going to track them down with firearms. It's a pretty incoherent article. Every time I read an article by Erica D. Smith, I feel that my IQ has dropped 3 to 5 points. So you cost me almost 10 points. I read this thing twice, Brandon. And her argument is that California is fearing a growing number of black people who are getting arms because the black people fear that white people are going to get arms and go into a murder spree. When, in fact, as you well know, half of the homicide victims in this country are black, almost 7,000, and they're almost always killed by other black people. The peril to black people in the inner city is not white people with guns. It's black people with illegal guns shooting and harming black and brown people living in the inner city. She doesn't want to talk about that. She somehow wants to argue that, well, California might rethink their support for the Second Amendment and support for this Supreme Court decision that allows people to, under an easier standard to get CCWs because a bunch of black people are going to get guns. White people are not afraid of black legal gun permit holders. They're afraid of thugs. They're afraid of people who are illegally having guns. Remember that Chris Rock routine? You know, I'm not afraid of black people. I'm afraid of N-words. And he goes on and talks about the thugs that they're afraid of. That's what people are afraid of, no matter what race they are.
Amen. Larry Elder, you guys listen to Larry Elder. Larry Elder, thank you for being on. Man, I love that man. You listen to the Offset Show, homie, after the break.
He's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. A story coming out of West Hollywood, California. West Hollywood votes to cut Los Angeles County Sheriff funding amid crime wave. The trendy Los Angeles County community has voted to reduce law enforcement funding despite escalating crime that was up 137% earlier this year and public backlash. The budget for the next two fiscal years will leave West Hollywood with up to 5 fewer Los Angeles County Sheriff deputies on patrol. At the same time, the council approved increased funding for cultural arts festivals. The budget was approved by a narrow 3-2 vote with Mayor Lauren Meister and dissenting as well as Councilman John Erickson. Why is this a problem? Defunding police isn't just about money. Defunding police is about defunding and demoralizing law enforcement. When you have a particular part of the city that experiences crime, a crime increase of 137%, what do you think the solution is? You know, when I was a police officer, long, long, long ago, that when we had a crime spike, we would go to the drawing board and we would say, what do we need to do better to mitigate the crime? One of the mitigating factors were to patrol more, meaning have high visibility. And in many cases, that would deter crime substantially. Because the higher visibility of police officers, the less likely that opportunist criminals would go out and commit crimes. Putting a community center in the middle of the hood ain't gonna change the hood. Because now you're going to have another location that you're going to have to respond to for calls for service. I don't know why people don't get this. When I was growing up and I had been exposed to hood culture, and some of my cousins was knee deep in the hood, gang banging and all kind of other stuff, there's not one time that I thought to myself, if only we had another basketball court, crime would go down. No, there'd just be another place where dudes would get into it and get in a shootout at another basketball court. It's not money. It's not necessarily resources. It is behavior and culture. That's where this stems from. You can go to any low-income community. It doesn't matter what color skin the people are that live there. You see trash. You see broke-down cars sitting in the front yard. You see drugs, crime out of control. Why is that the case? It's because, and I don't know which came first. You know how they say which came first, the egg or the chicken? I don't know which came first, poverty or bad decision-making. Because it seems to me that when you make poor decisions, you end up in impoverished situations. It seems very clear to me when you make positive decisions, you end up in positive situations. It's very simple. And I believe, and I've seen it with my own eyes, people in these low-income communities, they don't care about their community. They don't care that there's trash everywhere. It doesn't cost you anything to pick up trash in your front yard. It don't cost you anything to sweep your driveway. My grandmother been living in the same house for over 30 years in the hood. Now, with black people not populating the hood anymore, Hispanics have not taken over, and they own half of the street now. However, my grandmother's been living there forever. My grandmother keeps her front yard immaculate. She sweeps her sidewalk. She cleans the brush. My grandmother's front yard looked like she lived in Beverly Hills. And she stay in a house that's probably big as my master bedroom. And that's not bragging on my master bedroom. My grandma literally has one bathroom in the house. And two rooms. And one kitchen. And if you took that wall in the middle down, you could literally see all of it at one time. And her and my grandfather been living there. That's not my biological grandfather, but I call Willie B my grandfather. They've been living there for 30 plus years. They keep their stuff clean. They keep it neat. The yard is clean. Just because my grandmother and them don't have a tremendous amount of money don't mean she can't keep a yard clean. And her neighbor always keep a clean yard. Everybody else, I can't speak for them. Going 100 miles per hour down that single lane. That street is almost small enough where if you have a car parked on the side, two cars can't pass. People drive 100 miles per hour down my grandmother's street. Just don't care. They don't care about their own communities. And this problem precedes any of the resources that they claim they want to put in these inner cities. Now, according to this same article, a Fox News article, is that once they did a survey and spoke to most people in the community, they disagree with this. The vote was done by city council. It says most of the residents and businesses, and this is a quote, I have heard from are opposed to cutting the sheriff's budget, which is a quote from the mayor, Lauren Meister. They are outraged that people and organizations from outside of their city are dictating to council how to run our city. The narrative that we can have either sheriffs or social service or either sheriffs or unarmed security team is false. You can walk and chew gum at the same time if there are people who have a vested interest in doing what's right. When I was a cop in Tucson, Arizona, I feel like we effectively did both really well. We had resources for people, and we also had police. Now, we could have done way better at hiring more police, but I could say that we weren't hurting as bad as they're hurting today. When I would go to a call where a person was mentally ill and it necessitated a police response, i.e. there was a crime committed, we used to show up as a police department and after we made sure the scene was safe, social workers would come. And we would stand by and make sure nobody blow up and kill them. And we would let them do their job. Because we don't need to sit there and baby you. We're not professionals in that. We're the jack of all trades, but we're not the master of communication in some cases. And so they can provide service and follow up. But we didn't leave the scene. They weren't left alone. Because some of these people, they sound good for 1 minute and then they crack up. The social workers say the wrong thing and now they want to kill them. And we have to be there to protect them. So there's a way, a rhyme and a reason to do both. And if you ask me, if the crime is out of control, you increase the policing. You don't decrease police. And I don't understand how in our society today we're still having this conversation. Defunding the police isn't just about money. When officers feel unappreciated or they're afraid to do their job, especially if they're white, they don't want to have to shoot a black man. They don't want to have to handcuff a black man and they won't have to talk to a black man. Because if that black man decides to pull a race card, it is murder, she wrote. When you do that to people in law enforcement, they begin to no longer be proactive in policing. They're just call takers, which means if you call, they show up. They don't show up before the call. They don't thwart criminal behavior before the crime is committed. None of that happens. They follow up and they respond when they can. And I'll tell you just a residual effect of this in Tucson. I had some friends tell me, a guy from DPS that works with the Highway Patrol, and you know, he covers Tucson. He had told me that Tucson police is so bad, the police department is so bad right now, that they don't even show up to assist Highway Patrol. When I was a cop, we used to assist. The call was called Agency Assist. That means if Highway Patrol needed us for whatever reason, we'll show up to that call as brothers in blue. Now, they won't even show up to the call. Now, if somebody burglarized, if somebody steals stuff from you, the cops may not show up. They make you do an online report. Ladies and gentlemen, is this the world that you want to live in? When somebody rob you, the community center ain't going to help you. You listen to the Ops Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243. I want to hear from you after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Keep my wife's name out of your mouth. You listen to the Ops Tatum Show. I just couldn't help myself but say that. It's running.
Homie, don't play that.
That your boy slapped Chris Rock. I still wonder, was that staged or not? My pillow? I wonder if it's staged or not. But anyway, speaking of stage, speaking of getting slapped, let's talk about my pillow. Mike Lindell, I don't think, to my best of my knowledge, he's ever slapped anybody. But he's definitely slapping some prices down with the $90 off. I almost said 90% off. You ain't getting 90% off. You get $90 off the Moss Slippers. And if you haven't heard, the Moss Slippers are a new design. Mike Lindell has took over 2 years to develop the Moss Slippers. I have some, and I love them, man. They're good. They're good. They're good. And the Moss Slippers are designed to wear indoors and outdoors as much as you want. They're built tough to withstand whatever conditions that you want to put them in. Now, obviously, they're not perfect, but they have MyPillow foam in them and also impact gel to help with fatigue, and they're made with quality leather suede. So if you are interested, all you have to do is call 1-800-976-8379, use promo code Brandon, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and put in promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now. Brandon at MyPillow.com. Have you guys ever heard a dead body talk? I know it's a weird question, but have you heard a dead body speak? If you haven't, I'm going to let you listen to one. I know you've never heard this before. Just bear with me. You are going to listen to a dead body speak. Clip 2, Rotoclip.
I also think at this moment, the federal government needs to be exploring what they can do to make federal lands available to help ensure access to abortion.
Well, she's dead, but I want the other dead body. clip two, Ayanna Pressley.
I think she gave voice to the anger, the sense of betrayal that everyone who values freedom, the constitutional right to health care and abortion care is health care, is feeling at this moment. And that vulnerability will be disproportionately borne by our most marginalized. We know there's a Black maternal morbidity crisis. This is an issue that Vice President Harris has led on. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in childbirth. We know that for those that do not have means to travel to safe haven states, that they will be left with no options. And so this is a matter of life and death for our LGBTQ siblings, for the disabled, for low-income women, for women of color, for Black women.
Get this milk dud off the screen. This woman is absolutely, and I call her milk dud because she's completely bald-headed, and I don't even know if she's doing it because she got something going on or she just want to be bald-headed. But, you know, and let me not make fun of her bald-headedness. That's not really the focus on what I'm talking about. But y'all see how just loony these people are? If you can't have an abortion, you're left with no options. Last time I checked, you can do other things but have an abortion. You know, it's very weird to me, and I can never figure this out. Why are they so obsessed with abortion, 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 abortion? I mean, it makes me feel like this is political. Right? Abortion is healthcare. It's like a talking point. This is political. It's political jargon. This is not real life. Like, really, you guys are just only care about women's anything that has anything to do with women and children is abortion. I never in my life have heard any of these Democrats fight for women who actually choose life. Where's the programs for those women? Why can't the government give you funding if you have more kids? Maybe if you have 3 kids, maybe they can help you out a little bit instead of helping the one go over there and kill their kids. And I don't want to hear people say, you know, I was listening to her talk and she was like, oh, and you know, God forbid if you can't go get an abortion, you're left with no choices. No, and maybe you can have the baby. Have you ever thought of that? You do have a choice. Maybe you can be a parent and have the baby because you were laying up and that's what got you the baby. Maybe you can actually take responsibility for your own actions. I think it makes me more and more upset with what these people are saying. Like, I'm starting to become angry at people or the actions of people who are trying to force abortion down the throats of young women and also society. Cut it out already. Women have plenty of choices. And abortion should not be one of them. And what happened to accountability? I think the left's entire argument and premise is on no accountability whatsoever. The white man put the drugs in the community. That's why Black people are drug addicts and selling drugs all day. No, I never picked up drugs and sold it to my brothers or sisters. I had a choice. You don't have to sell drugs just because you live in a place where there are drugs available. I own tons of guns. That don't mean I have to go and shoot people with them. There's a thing called accountability. If you want a good life, then make positive decisions. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not rocket science. Fornicating and having multiple partners and you're not protecting yourself is not a responsible decision. And you know it and I know it. It's very clear to me. I don't know why it's not clear to these other people. I want to bring in another soundbite because it goes into what I'm saying. We're going to go to Tucker Carlson in clip 3. But I want y'all to hear what Tucker Carlson said because I think that this is almost aligned with what I think about and what I've been thinking about for the last several days. Wrote a clip.
Liberals are just really unhappy people, and they want to now they want to spread their misery. They want you to feel exactly how unhappy they are when things aren't going their way. They're more likely than conservatives and independents to block people on social media just because they don't like something you said. They will erupt at a social gathering at a perfect stranger. They do this to their family, their friends. They're angry, vindictive, petty. And again, all of this is backed up by data. They just are naturally tend to be unhappy people.
higher rates of mental illness.
I know people. Just keep that in mind. I know people who match exactly what he's saying. Just vindictive, dirty, evil, miserable people. And they don't want you to be happy. They want you to go down that deep, dark hole and be miserable with them because they didn't make good life choices. They continue to make bad choices in life. And they want you to suffer with them. That's what leftists do. That's what the mindset of leftists are. Find me a leftist that isn't a miserable person virtue signaling all day. It's very simple to me, ladies and gentlemen. Call in 844-900-7243. I'll catch you after the break. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen and ladies, follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. YouTube is blowing up. The Officer Tatum on YouTube. TheOfficerTatum.com is my website. If you want to download the podcast of this show, we do the best of as the podcast of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about the Ghislaine. I don't even know how to say her name. Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell, who knows? Remember that dirty, nasty woman that Jeffrey Epstein, I guess it was his girlfriend at one point in time, that was getting all these kids and sexually assaulting them, sex trafficking young children. I don't think people remember because people have the attention span and memory of a gnat. Jeffrey Epstein, you can look at the documentary. Epstein was a creepy, creepy dude. He was facing tons of felony criminal charges, but mysteriously, he died in maximum facility as the most prolific pedophile in American history. And somehow, both guards fell asleep, and somehow he killed himself. He was taken off a suicide watch, guards fall asleep, no video recording, and he's dead. How is that possible? Well, we all know how it's possible. These people are crooked. Well, the woman that he left behind, Maxwell, was sentenced to 20 years in prison for her role in facilitating former financier Jeffrey Epstein's abuse of several underage girls. And that's the tip of the iceberg, man. He had an island. They call it the pedophile island. Where, and I don't know, people, you know, it's always two sides to every story. But there were people who worked on the island that would say he would bring these clearly underage girls to the island and, you know, swim in the hot tub with him and do all kind of other stuff that we know is nefarious. And there's also other rumors that this dude was trafficking even younger children, you know, like, you know, 8, 9, 7 year olds, stuff like that. And he was also bringing these other people to this island on a private jet. Now, I know they'll never talk about this, but there was a flight log on this private jet to this, what they call it, pedophile island, Epstein Island. And Hillary Clinton's husband was on there. Prominent people from all over the world was on his flight log going to Jeffrey Epstein's island. Now, I find it very interesting that a person flying to an island of a person who's a pedophile who had pedophilic issues on that island is not somehow connected. Now, I'm not going to say unequivocally that these people are doing crimes, but put two and two together, and I think that this would be very frightening for you. But I think it's a good step in the right direction from her getting convicted. It says Maxwell, who was the former Epstein girlfriend and confidant, was found guilty on 5 counts, including transporting a minor for the purpose of criminal sexual activities, conspiring to entice minors to travel to engage in illegal sex acts, and perjury related to a statement that she made in 2016. The former Epstein associate said that meeting the millionaire was the biggest regret of her life. Cry me a river. You were knee deep in it. You only regret it when you got caught. So I wanted to throw that out there for the people that have been following Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and that whole crazy pedophilic thing. I really want the government or somebody who leaks to leak the flight log, leak some of the correspondence between Epstein and these other people who are prominent in our society. They ain't going to do it because then you will find out that there's a lot more people involved in this pedophilia ring, pedophilic ring, than you could imagine. Moving on to the next subject. Fathers in the home are very important. I think everybody knows that, whatever the case may be, we get it. But at the same time, I really do think it's important for us to remember the importance of fathers, because I feel like fathers get left out a lot. And, you know, it's the nature of the beast, right? You know, men are not supposed to have emotions. Men are supposed to go along to get along. Men are supposed to be tough. Men can't lose their composure. All of the above are expectations of men. And I'm not saying that all of those things shouldn't be achievable measures that men prescribe to. But I will add that it's a shame that our society, you know, don't give men what they need to be successful in some cases. And also they treat them like trash when it comes to the justice system and other things disproportionately. And my message to the men out here that are listening, just keep your head up. That's all I'm saying. Keep your head up. Do what's right. Be a good man. Don't be flailing around with these floozies. Get you a good wife. Settle down. Have children after you've had fun with your wife, and then have children. Because that's something I think people forget, too, as married individuals, is that if you don't have kids yet, when you get married, you need to travel. You need to have fun. You need to go to restaurants. You need to do all of the greatest things you can possibly think of before you have kids. And it's not because kids are somehow cramp your style. It's because now your focus has to be on your kids, you know, for the most part. You know, if you got enough money, you could travel with your kids everywhere. And therefore, you can expose them to things that they've never seen before. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. I want to hear from you. Dennis Prager had a topic earlier, and I love the Dennis Prager show. Like, that's, I listened to him right before my show. But Dennis Prager had a topic that I thought was very interesting about dating. And the question that he posed to the audience, and if you want to call in and talk about this, I think it's important as well, is how long should a person wait? And I'm paraphrasing what the subject matter was about, but how long should a person wait before getting married? Now, I'm very strict on this idea, not because I'm perfect, but because I've learned from my mistakes. I honestly believe that as a man, men know if you are the one. I would argue on the first or second date, a man will know. I'm just saying a man will know. And I believe that people shouldn't wait longer than I would say 3 to 6 months to make a decision of whether or not you want to marry a person or not. And the reason I say this is because when you know, you know. When you're ready, you're ready. When you're not ready, you don't know, right? When you're not ready to be married, you question yourself, you second guess, you go through all of this evaluation of this person where you second guess your intuition. You knew they were lazy when you first met them, but you wanted, they the one, so you want to still find out, is can you live with them being lazy? It's like, no, you have things in your heart and in your mind that you have as expectations, and those are the things that you should pursue. Never settle. In relationships, never settle. And I know it's easy to say, because if you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s, you may think it's over for you, but still, don't settle, because it's better to be single and happy than to be married to somebody and miserable. Married to somebody that you end up getting a divorce with. And I'm not a relationship guru, but I could just tell you what I know. And I would tell my daughter, if I had a daughter, I only have two sons, which I'm highly grateful for. They can pass on my legacy, carry the family name. But if you have a daughter, what would I tell my daughter? Don't settle for men that don't know what they want to do in life. I remember me and my wife had this conversation. I used to be very turned off by women who wanted a man that had a lot of money, right? Now, let me explain this. After going through life the last, I don't know, 10 years, I can somewhat see why that would be applicable. Because having money isn't solely about the money. A lot of people who have a lot of money, and this is not everybody, And I'm not saying just people with money are the biggest catch, because your character is the most important. But a lot of times people with money are very confident. People with money work very hard. They have a future. They look forward to certain things. And that's attractive to a lot of women. And I see now why women pursue that. And I'm not talking about gold diggers. I'm talking about a woman who's established, who says, you know what, I want a man who's financially secure, who's made positive financial decisions, a man who's confident, a man who I can depend on, a man who's a dreamer, who's a forward-thinking, who's a leader, all of the above. And I know a lot of people that I know that have a lot of money, they're those type of people. And, you know, I don't know if it's a correlation or not. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Is there a correlation with character and money? I don't know. But I think that those are some things that a person can look forward to when you're looking for a person to date or not. I can't hear. All right, I got to get out of here. 5 seconds. You listen to the Off Saving Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Michael Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't just stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing the My Slipper. For a limited time, you will receive $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop it. The My Slippers. Have I been saying My Pillow? The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon to get your My Slippers. This offer will not last long. Order now. Use promo code Brandon at MySlippers.com. Oh, man. My R. Kelly. Kales. 30 years in federal penitentiary. Now, do he deserve it? I didn't watch the trial, but I heard some rumors about R. Kelly, and it sounded like he deserved it. But people are making a comparison between Ghislaine Maxwell and R. Kelly. And if you don't know who R. Kelly is, he was one of the most prolific R&B singers of all time. I think he's one of the greatest artists to ever live. One of them. The dude was a songwriter, producer. I mean, R. Kelly music still fire. I'm just going to keep it real with y'all. R. Kelly still has some of the best music that has ever been put out there. However, you can't be messing with underage girls and doing all this old crazy stuff. You will go to prison. So I have to do more research, because I know people are going to make the argument between Ghislaine Maxwell. They were taking minors and doing all kind of other stuff that I think was way more drastic than what R. Kelly did. But we shall see. I don't remember. Maybe I got to research this, because I could have sworn that Ghislaine Maxwell actually pled guilty to something. She did a plea agreement. Let's see. Pled not guilty. Okay, said Maxwell had pled not guilty to 6 criminal counts, but she was found guilty on 5 of the 6 counts in December of 2021. Okay, so she did plead not guilty and then was found guilty. So therefore, there was no plea deal agreement that would have given her less time. So I'm going to do my research, because I don't know why they got different sentencing. According to reports, R. Kelly was sentenced to 30 years in prison Wednesday for charges of federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges, stemming from his efforts over years to use his fame to ensnare victims to sexual abuse. Now, let me just say this real quick. You know, what he's guilty of, he's guilty of. But, man, some of these women that I saw in that documentary, Surviving R. Kelly, are full of crap. Some of them were actual victims. Some of them were full of crap. It was one woman, in my opinion, she's full of crap. She was like 30-some years old, voluntarily went and lived with him and other women, and then tried to make the claim she couldn't get out the house. She was locked in, but she wasn't locked in a room. She wasn't locked in the door. She just claimed she was locked in. And then one day she got mad at R. Kelly because he was dating another girl in the house and giving her more attention. She just left. Well, I thought you was locked in the house. And you 30-something, you a 30-year-old woman at the time. You know better than that. And let me blame these parents real quick, too, because R. Kelly deserved whatever he got. But let me blame these parents. Some of the young women that was over R. Kelly's house was brought to him by their parents. Now, have you heard R. Kelly's music? I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. And you think it's a good idea to let your kids go over his house and spend the night? Y'all, these parents should be in trouble too. Ain't no way in the world a man that make sexual music, I mean, a lot of his music is graphic sexual music, that you think is a good idea for your little girl to go over his house and hang out so he can teach her how to become a world-renowned artist. These people were actually pimping their kids out to R. Kelly. And I think they deserve to go to jail too, or to be held accountable. Because although he's sex trafficking, they are the traffickers as well. Because ain't no way in the world you manipulating a grown person to let your kids go over some grown man house who all he doing is talking about sex and calling himself the Pod Piper. And if I'm not mistaken, the Pod Piper was a mystical creature, or not a creature, but a person who would play instruments and lure in children. That's what he called himself. Nah, it was something else. Let me look up the Pod Piper while I'm on the radio. Because I could have sworn the Pod Piper would play this music and it would put people into a trance. And they couldn't help it, but it was like an underground story of the Pod Piper. It would lure the children into him. I'm going to look it up in a break. But anyway, I got a couple people calling in, so I want to get y'all's commentary. 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Dave from New Jersey, welcome to the show.
I think I got a handle on why the Democrats, but it could be anybody that is supporting abortion. And when you have colleges, when you have synagogues, and I think Dennis Prager was talking about that in Israel, they can't come out against abortion because they're honoring a false god, that false god of Mammon. And I think it was in the Bible, and I think it's money is what it is. And they're afraid of losing that money or losing the grant or losing their status with 501(c)(3) because the government's got them. They have to perform and they have to support abortion because they're following a false god. And that's in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah, Dave, I agree with you. You can't follow both man. What do you say? You can't follow both something and mammon. Yeah. I want to ask you this question. Do you think that this was something that was established from the very beginning to trick these religious organizations into being at the behest of the federal government? Or you think that this is just a byproduct of something going wrong? Or do you think they initially put into place these things to manipulate religious organizations at 501(c)(3)s?
Oh, I think there was an evil manipulating in the beginning, and I think that any organization that falls into that is because of greed, because they don't want to lose their money. It's all about money, and they know that's one of the weaknesses, along with sex. So, you know, they're two of the biggest hooks that we have in our lives.
Dave, thank you so much for calling in. Great commentary. You know, I think Dave is on point in many ways, because all you can do is go right now, go to your favorite pastors that have an Instagram channel. They posting and speaking in tongues all week long, and they ain't said nothing about Roe v. Wade. Why is that? It's the money. It's the money. When the government gives you authorization, they get their hands involved in the church and the marriage, they will screw you. But anyway. You listen to the Off Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243. I'll catch you after the break.
Breaking news and what to make of it. The Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. R. Kelly, don't mean to be rude, but you got 30 years, my dude. I don't know if y'all know that's one of R. Kelly's songs, Key in the Ignition. Key in the Ignition. You know what that means. I'm going to go back to the idea of Pod Piper. If you look up the scenario of the Pod Piper, and R. Kelly has been heard in many of his songs calling himself the Pod Piper. When I say Pied Piper, it's P-I-E-D, and then Piper, common spelling. So according to the legend of the Pied Piper, he was hired to come into a particular town to play music and run the rats away, right? They had a rat infestation. And so when he came and he played the instruments or the music and drove the rats away, the mayor of the town refused to pay him as prescribed. He reneged. And the mayor reneged because he believed that the Pied Piper would bring the rats in the town just to play them out of the town and was doing a running a grift. So, however, the myth goes, or the legend goes, that the Pied Piper was upset that he wasn't paid for his services, and he vowed to come back and get revenge and retaliate. And so what the Pied Piper did was he came back into the town, and while the people were at church, he played the music to lure the children into a cave, and they were never seen again. Now, you explain to me how R. Kelly is calling himself the Pied Piper and ended up in sex trafficking of minors and going to prison over it. And he said he was the Pied Piper from a very long time ago and nobody picked up on it. I didn't even pick up on it. Matter of fact, I was listening to some of his music the other day and I forgot that he's a nasty person. I hate to say that about somebody because I really don't know. You know, people. Some people, they go to prison over stuff they didn't do, and some people get off of stuff they didn't did. But at the end of the day, I trust the justice system for the most part, and they must have proved beyond a reasonable doubt to give him 30 years in federal prison. That's a long time to get. That means you're doing all every minute of that time in prison. I got people calling in. Dennis from Florida, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yes, sir. This is Dennis in Sarasota. I want to say that your call screener is doing a great job. My comment is your show should be called the Officer Tatum School. School. Because we learn so much. Some of us, and my friends too, we take notes. It's like going to school. The Officer Tatum School. That's it, buddy. Thank you. God bless you.
That is awesome, Dennis. Thank you so much for calling in. That is awesome. That's right. That's right. It should be the Officer Tatum School coming to learn y'all today. Class is in session. But no, I appreciate you, Dennis. But, you know, the Pied Piper was a legend that resonated very well with your boy R. Kelly. And it's very sad, man, because I feel like that dude was very talented. I often wonder, and I don't know if you guys wonder the same thing, is that, is it the fame, is it the talent, or is it something, some people that are very talented, it's like something wrong with them, that's why they're talented? Like their minds are in a different world, and they're talented, but it also comes with the fact that they're just disgusting people, and they're sexual perverted people in many cases. There's a lot of people like that. Maybe they've encountered abuse, and that could be what happened to them as well. But it's just interesting, man. What a great talented guy. Why do the talented people always go south? They always go downhill. They always doing something nefarious. It's not always, not all, but it just seems like that. Because I just really thought he was such a great talented person. Even Michael Jackson was such a talented person. I mean, if you look at the story of Michael Jackson, I mean, even the Bargello. The Jello Man, Bill Cosby was very talented. I mean, many of these people you would regard. I mean, my favorite, Cuba Gooding Jr. My favorite, one of my favorite actors, right behind Denzel Washington. Cuba Gooding Jr. is one of the greatest actors of all time, in my opinion. He didn't touching on women and assaulting them, and all kinds of stuff, went to jail over it. Why do these awesome people end up being such dirtbags? Maybe it's something in the water. I have no idea. But I'm sure if one of y'all call in and give me the scoop on it. But it's very confusing to me. And it could be the trick of the enemy. You know, some good people can make a real difference and the enemy swoops in and make sure that the legacy will never be the same. People that have done so much good. But let me tell you something else that is never good. It's when the nation's authority on economic policy completely misses the flashing red lights of an impending inflation. The Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen finally admitted in her own words that there has been an unanticipated and large shock to the economy that has boosted our energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that affects our economy badly. I didn't know it was coming. She's lying. She knew it was coming. They're trying to push y'all to clean energy. But you know who was ready for it, who was prepared, and who understood the real threat of inflation was the people who invested in gold and silver with Birch Gold. They're protecting their savings from a highly turbulent economy by diversifying their 401k and IRA into gold, and I mean physical gold. And it's not too late for you to get active now. All you have to do is text Brandon to 989898, and you can get a free info kit on diversifying and protecting your savings with precious metals. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and countless five-star reviews and thousands of satisfied customers, text Brandon to 989898 and get real advice from the experts, because I ain't the expert. Birch Gold, they are the experts. Again, text Brandon to 989898 to claim your free no obligation info kit on protecting your savings with gold.
Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back. Turn down for nothing. Let's turn it up, baby. We got to win in the midterms. I hope that we landslide these people like nobody's business. And I'm going for Carrie Lake in the state of Arizona for governor. Now, one of my friends reached out to me. He's friends with Karen Robeson. And he said, hey, man, would you like to interview Karen Robeson? And there's a part of me that says that maybe I will give her a chance because I'm a fair and balanced person. The bigger question is, how about we get an event where Karen Robeson debates Carrie Lake? I could almost guarantee you she ain't going to show up because they had a debate before in the state of Arizona and Karen Robeson didn't show up. I don't care what the excuse is. Carrie Lake was there. Carrie Lake is the hardest working person in politics that I've seen since Donald Trump. I mean, every time I follow on Carrie Lake's page, she's doing an event. She's at somebody's house. She's everywhere. And somebody else told me that Carrie Lake don't have business experience or something like that. I don't care. It's called leadership. There's two different things you got to think about when it comes to a leader. Some leaders are hands-on and some leaders lead through leadership. Some leaders, by virtue of their being, they know how to put a team together. The perfect example of this is football. When you look at college football, you'll see two different types of leaders. You have some head football coaches that actually call the plays. They need to call all the plays. They need to be in control. Now, they don't call the defensive plays. They normally call the offensive plays. But they need to be in control. They're more hands-on, and their staff is okay. Then you have people like, I forget his name, Brown, Coach Brown for University of Texas when I was there. I forget his name, Mac Brown. Like Mac Brown. Mac Brown ain't calling plays. Mac Brown is sitting back, and he has the coldest team on planet Earth. The best offensive coordinators, the best defensive coordinators, all the best staff. Now, Mac Brown is an older coach. He retired. No, he didn't. He went back to North Carolina. But Mac Brown was killing at the University of Texas. He was there for a legacy period of time. So you see that there's two different things. And I think Carrie Lake, to me, is like the Mac Brown. Is that with her enthusiasm, her authenticity, she's going to draw in people that are good quality, people that can do the things that she may not be good at doing. Okay. Like advisors, something that some politicians don't know nothing about. It was something I was going to talk about. Before I get to this point, I know I'm coming towards the end of the day. I got another segment left after this. But remember when I was saying, if you were listening, I was speaking about the Pied Piper, the legend of the guy playing the music to get the rats out of town. They didn't pay him. He got mad, and he played the music to lure the kids into a cave, and they were never found again. Now, I compared that to R. Kelly. I want you to know that I didn't just make that up. R. Kelly had called himself the Pied Piper. Wrote a clip.
Yeah, it's the Pied Piper of R&B, y'all. Whoa.
The Pied Piper of R&B, y'all.
Yeah, it's the Pied Piper of R&B, y'all. Whoa.
All right, all right. Hey, don't tell me. Don't say I didn't tell you. Because I used to listen to him all the time, so I knew that's what he was saying. But I didn't know what the Pied Piper was. Now I know. And now he's going to prison. Now I know why. Okay. All right. Let me get a couple people in real quick. We got a bunch of people calling in. 844-900-7243. If you want to be a part of the conversation, who are we going to go to? Dana from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, Officer Tatum. My name is Gina, actually, from Brooklyn.
What is it, Gina?
Gina, yeah. I was
Tina. Tina.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay.
I just saw your picture. You have a great smile. God bless you. I think that pride comes before the fall, and that's why a lot of very talented people get arrogant and prideful, and they fall.
That is great insight.
Yeah, the Bible says pride comes before the fall, and it happens to so many. And you know what? When you're so gifted like that, things are easy for you, and you think that it's not valuable when things come easy, and they lose what God gave them.
100%. Thank you so much for calling in and giving that insight. That is, she couldn't have been more correct. I say this all the time, and I've noticed this too. Pride does come before destruction. Pride comes before the fall. Depending on the translation you got, destruction, the fall, are both synonymous with this idea. Is that is exactly what happens. You know, they get prideful. They're so successful. They got all the women in the world, and they don't need God no more. And let me tell you guys this, from yours truly, I make it a point to never be a prideful person. Now, I'm confident. But I'm not prideful because I understand that every single accomplishment that I have received in my life or I've made in my life come from God. Me being on the radio right now ain't because Brandon Tatum is that good. Y'all heard me read a couple times. I ain't that good. It's because of God. God decided to put me in this position. Why? Because he know I'm going to do well with the gifts that he's given me. And I want people to understand that very vividly is that if you want something out of life, God has to be able to trust that you're going to do what's right by it. How do you become successful? It's because God knows that if I give him this platform, if I do this or do that, I know that he's going to hold up the standard and he's going to make me look good. That's just my thought process. So word to the wise for you young people, no matter how great you become, no matter how big you are, how much status you have, always remain humble and kind. Sean, I want you to find that song from the country singer, Humble and Kind. I always remain humble and kind. I want to listen to that when I come into the next segment, if it's not copywritten. But anyway, I got a couple more callers calling in. Let's see. Is it Liza? Liza from California?
Oh, Liza.
Liza. Okay, I can't read. I told y'all. Liza, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Well, Officer Tatum, Dad left about 4 years ago, and now you're my new dad, so thank you. We listen every day. So what I want to say is that, you know, about R. Kelly, I don't know of him, and I like his music a lot, but I don't know if he's, you know, guilty or not. But I tell you, my mother told me that they used to have something called groupies, and they would do anything to get, and once you went behind stage and were invited in the trailer, you knew what was coming. Then she told me about, and I have friends, they'll do anything to get backstage to a band member. And then she told me about a guy in Florida who used to get women to take their tops up and show their
stuff. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Liza, I gotta go to the break. I got to go to the break. I appreciate the input. You listen to the Offset Tatum Show. I got one more segment. Hold the phone.
Turn down for what? You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind.
Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Church,
man, I tell you what, Tim McGraw, I really like this song. Now, Tim McGraw is a social justice warrior now, but I love this song. Very simple. Always stay humble and kind. Let me finish it with this. It don't cost you nothing to be kind to somebody. I've noticed in my life that I have a lot of grace and I receive a lot of grace. Maybe let me say that correctly. I noticed in my life that I receive a lot of grace, and that's because I give grace. When I go down the street, man, I wave at people. I say, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It doesn't cost you anything to be nice. It doesn't cost you anything to love people like you want to be loved. You know, maybe people hate people like they want to be hated, but, you know, I just love people, man. It's not that hard to, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is hard for some people, but I treat people like I would treat my dad, like I would treat my uncle when I see people in the street. And I don't care about the race of another person. That means zero to me. You know, it gives you a better perspective on life when you stay humble and you stay kind to other people. Okay, I got two callers calling in. Let me get John from California. I only got a little bit of time, John. What you got?
Hey, Officer Tatum, this is Sergeant John, formerly of the Oakland Police Department. The gal that called up and talked about Pride, R. Kelly and Pride.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that's right out of the Bible, the Matrix, the foundation of sin, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, which is condescending. Yes. And lust in flesh, he just thought he could go out and get whatever he wanted. And unfortunately, his most basic desires, rather than set him free, made him a slave.
John, thank you so much. That's a brilliant take on that. You know, it's funny that lust and pride are two big crazy things that have destroyed nations after nations after nations. Or nation after nation after nation. Let me use proper English. I get lazy in my English sometimes. I got a minute left, but I find that to be very interesting. Even in these polygamous cults and these radical religious, you know, cults and stuff that they make, it's always sex. Have you noticed that? It's always the cult leader want to take your wife and leave you barren. You know what I'm saying? The dude at Waco said, I want to be with your wives and all the men can be celibate. I'll take your burden for you. How is it that man can take your wife and people fall for it? Just like the dirty dog. And I hope he meet Jesus. What's the guy out here? I forget his name out here in Colorado City. Warren Jeffs, that dirty sucker. Same thing. They always want to sleep with as many women as possible. But anyway, I'm out of here, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see y'all tomorrow. You listen to the Outstatum Show. Peace.
When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.